Today's briefing is curated from tens of thousands of articles across hundreds of global sources and voiced by AI. So the US and Iran have gone back to trading heavy strikes after that month-long lull, and a wedding party got hit. Oil is above $94 a barrel now.
Right, and these are multiple sources reporting the same basic facts, Reuters, AP, but none of them are on the ground in the strike zones. The casualty numbers are still coming in. The big question is whether this is a one-off retaliation or a new sustained phase.
The wedding strike is going to make it very hard for Iran to de-escalate domestically. And we're already seeing protests over fuel shortages inside Iran. Meanwhile, global bond markets are having their own meltdown. The UK 10-year yield hit a 28-year high.
That's from Reuters and Bloomberg, so well-sourced. The US 30-year bond is on its worst stretch since 2006. Eurozone inflation jumped to 3.3%, so the ECB is signaling a rate hike. It's a broad-based sell-off, not just one country.
And this is happening on the same day the UK's new Prime Minister Andy Burnham made his Commons debut. He's blaming the Tories for leaving the economy vulnerable, but he's walking into a bond market rout.
That's a tough hand. But let's not forget the humanitarian catastrophes. Nepal's flood death toll has now passed 1,000, with nearly 4,000 people still missing. The UN says mass burials have begun.
And the UN Environment Program put out a report today that formally admits the world will exceed 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming within a few years. They're proposing an overshoot pathway. Basically, we blow past the target and then try to come back down.
That's a green source, the actual UNEP report, so this is the first time they've said it officially. It's a big moment, even if it's grim. Greenland's ice sheet also shrank for the 30th consecutive year.
Let's pivot to AI, because OpenAI warned today that its upcoming Astra model has critical cybersecurity capabilities and will need stronger guardrails before launch. Reuters broke that story.
Right, and it's the first time an OpenAI model has hit that critical threshold. But it's a Reuters report, not a published safety evaluation. I'd want to see the actual assessment. Anthropic also released Fable 5.1, claiming it's the most capable coding model, and they cut token costs.
There's a lot of model news. Google released Gemini 3.8 Flash. And there's an open-source 16 billion parameter mixture of experts model called InStellimo E trained on AMD GPUs. And a small transformer trained in just 1.5 hours apparently beats many large language models on reasoning tasks.
The small transformer paper is on archive, so that's a primary source. But I'm always skeptical of beats many LLMs claims until I see the benchmark details. Still, the efficiency angle is interesting. Also, the Pentagon added ChatGPT and Grok to its military AI portal. That's from Breitbart, so take it with a grain of salt.
And New York City banned AI use for students through 8th grade, affecting 600,000 kids. That's a one-year moratorium, and companion chatbots are also banned. Meanwhile, Dell raised its annual revenue forecast on record AI server orders. The infrastructure boom continues.
On the software side, Google began removing MV2 extensions from the Chrome Web Store, including uBlock Origin. That's a big change for ad blocking, and the Play Store blocked Aurora Store, which hurts GrapheneOS users.
On the science side, we have a real standout. Semaglutide, that's the drug in Ozempic and Wegovy, extended lifespan in female mice when given for 3 months. The paper is in Nature.
Green Source Solid Journal. They saw improvements in health span and attenuation of aging hallmarks. It's a small step, but it adds to the evidence that GLP-1 drugs might slow aging, not just treat diabetes or obesity.
Another Nature paper shows that blood cells replace the brain's immune cells as we age. In AI-designed physics experiments, the AI proposes experimental layouts that humans hadn't thought of.
That's two more Nature papers, so well-sourced. The physics one is particularly striking because it's not just AI analyzing data, but AI designing the experiments themselves. That's a shift. Also, there's a potential dark matter breakthrough reported by Reuters, but it's a secondary source, so I'm cautious.
Quickly on geopolitics, Germany blamed Russia for the Leipzig drone attack, expelled diplomats, and closed the Russian consulate in Bonn. Russia called it an unprecedented escalation.
That's from Reuters, so reliable. And Xi Jinping visited Egypt for the first time in a decade, calling for a new Middle East security framework. China is clearly trying to position itself as a mediator, while the US is tied up with Iran.
On the legal front, Google avoided a forced breakup of its ad tech business. A judge rejected the DOJ's remedy and ordered milder changes. That's a major antitrust loss for the US government.
Yes, and it's interesting because the same day, the DOJ expanded its beef price investigation to 8 major grocery chains. So antitrust enforcement is uneven. Also, the House passed a short-term funding bill to avoid a shutdown before the midterms.
In the UK, a newborn baby was found stabbed to death in Sheffield, and 4 people have been charged. Also, teachers' unions voted to strike over workload. And the Scottish government plans to cut health boards from 14 to 2.
Those are all from BBC or other named sources, so credible. The health board restructuring is a big deal. It's a major centralization of NHS management in Scotland. And shop prices rose at the fastest rate in 2 years.
Australia had some notable stories too. Dugong numbers in the Gulf of Carpentaria have halved in 20 years. And NSW made pill testing permanent at up to 15 music festivals a year. Also, WA police dropped hundreds of A-assisted seatbelt fines after failing to prove driver knowledge.
The Dugong decline is from ABC, well reported. The pill testing move is a significant policy shift. And the AI fine debacle shows the pitfalls of automated enforcement without proper verification.
Canada's Liberal Party swept 3 federal by-elections, and the Port of Churchill shipped grain to Europe for the first time in 6 years. Also, the RCMP charged a Calgary man with running a $164 million Ponzi scheme.
The by-elections are a signal of momentum for the Liberals. And the Port of Churchill revival is interesting for Arctic trade routes. Japan's bond route continues too, with the BOJ leaving the door open for rate hikes.
What are you watching for tomorrow?
I want to see if the Iran-US strikes trigger any formal response from the UN Security Council and whether the bond sell-off continues into Asian trading. Also, the OpenAI Astra guardrail discussion, are they going to release a paper or just a blog post?
Good calls. For me, it's the Nepal rescue logistics, with thousands missing, every hour counts. And I'll be reading that semaglutide paper in detail. That's it for today's scan. We'll be back tomorrow.
Stay informed.